Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their drums.
It's been a few weeks. It was actually Palm Sunday when I spoke on play for the first time, so we've been breaking it down into 2 weeks per category. And so this is part B of putting God first, or doing life God's way, even in our play. And a few weeks ago, at the heart of all of that, was really about our ability to thrive as a community. We have to discover the richness of healthy play. And I think there's so much that we could glean from that. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. It is up. But I think play takes us out of our current quote-unquote box, you know, our current situation. And it's not really escapism. Play has an indirect ability to change our perspectives about the challenges that we face in life. Play has this interesting way of doing that for us. And there's all these studies that I cited a couple weeks ago and so forth. Again, it was fun for me to put that together. But one of the things that play does is it develops our ability to experience joy. Another thing that it does is it opens our creative imaginations. And play is known to really enhance our ability to distinguish between actual threats and perceived threats. And so one of the things that studies have shown is that people who have an ability to play, or people who were encouraged to play, or at least not discouraged from playing when they were children, and as we grow and we become adults and maybe we play less, but then we start to hear the invitation to play a little bit more, I don't know why we're afraid of it. But I think, you know, one of the things that we're invited into is this discovery so that it can enhance our ability to actually hope. You know, if we think about distinguishing between actual threats and perceived threats, some of us get locked into a rehearsal of what could be happening. We call this worry, right? I mean, it's just a rehearsal of what could possibly happen. And so in order to break that cycle so often, joy has to interrupt us. Joy has to come in and just help us. I mean, I am not going to speak on this particular thing, but I do want to mention this just in passing, that there are a couple of really key scriptures that talk about the Lord laughing at our adversary, the Lord laughing at wickedness, the Lord laughing at things that we perceive as a crushing force that might take us out, and the Lord is laughing at that stuff. And if we could touch some aspect of his heart that is full of joy, it's not a sarcastic smirk. It's an actual, like, understanding of the big picture. And if we could connect with that, my goodness, the joy that would begin to, like, give us endurance and strength and all of those things that we see in Scripture. I mean, that's kind of, in a word, it's linked to our ability to hope for something outside of our immediate circumstances. And in a word, play is linked to our ability to discover joy in the midst of hardship. I think, you know, joy being our strength in hard times, it's not just a celebration reserved for after we endure. I think that there's a force of endurance that we can experience in joy right in the middle of our valley of the shadow of death. So all of that stuff that I was talking about, it's good, you know. And researchers, they show that there's a few angles on play. It's not just physical play. Like, our kids are very physical in their play. You know, if you think about it, would you say that boys are more physical in their play or girls?
Boys?
I don't know if it matters. I mean, I've met some boys that were incredibly, like, imaginative, and their play was stationary, and they were playing. How many of you have kids that are very imaginative, and they have this incredible, complex world that they can imagine themselves in? They might even have imaginary friends. I'm not afraid of imaginary friends, by the way. Just like I'm not afraid of playing to the point where you might think, oh, that's escapism. No, it's not. I mean, it can be. There's a ditch over here that you can fall into. But I want to just say that, you know, it's more than just physical play, but also cognitive and even emotional play. So researchers have shown that reading a good novel or playing a video game that takes you into this fantastic life outside of your home. Again, this isn't necessarily escapism, but it can be a kind of play that develops in you a creative hope and a more sophisticated imagination. And so actually kids who have that type of play, imaginative play, it's just showing how smart they are. And so here we are as adults, and somehow, some way, for some of us, that goes offline. We flip the switch and we turn it off, and I just want to say, turn that back on. Let's go there. Like, let's let the Lord meet us in the place of our play. This morning, I want to turn the table a bit when we look at playing God's way. And the word that is highlighted for me this morning is the word recreation. All right? It's an easy jump. Play, recreation. But as I unpack this word, I'd like for you to hear it with the emphasis on re-creation. And remember the words of Jesus in Revelation 21 that we just read that says, look, I am making everything new. I am re-creating. All right? So the word recreation in Scripture is expressed in a few different ways. The first one is actually found in Matthew 11, 29. Not first in chronological order, but the first one that I want to talk about, right? So it says this, take my yoke upon you. This is Jesus talking to us, to his disciples. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The word rest there, anapausis, is to pause. A margin where you cease from your labor. So it's to pause. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to take my yoke upon you, do life my way. That's this whole thing, right? Doing life God's way. So I want you to do life my way, put the burden on that I'm actually carrying. I want you to carry it the way I do. I want you to do life the way I do life. And one of the ways that I do life, as I teach you how to do this, because I am humble and I am gentle at heart, I'm going to give you permissions. This is my humility. I'm not like the bold taskmaster here. I'm not the, you know, the harsh one here. I'm actually the gentle and the humble teacher here. And I want you to come into a place of rest. That word rest there is the word that could be translated into recreation in the Scripture. If you were to do a search of the word recreation in your lexicon, you'll find this word, this Greek word, and it will bring you to this passage, and it's to cease from your labors. All right, so that's one concept. You also see it used when Jesus tells his disciples in Mark 6:31, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest or recreate for a while. For there were so many people coming and going that they did not even have time to eat. All right, so life was pressing them hard. Ministry was pressing them hard. The needs of the people were pressing them hard. I mean, there is no shortage of that, right? There's no shortage of need. And so here we are. We're looking at life through the lens of, okay, what's it like to be a disciple of Jesus? And you hear Jesus himself saying, let's leave. Let's book it out of here because we can't even eat. Like, it's so intense. I love this. I love that Jesus would give us the invitation to go away to a secluded place and to find rest for a while. So that leads us to the second way that recreation is used. And so it's found actually in Matthew 19, 28. And it lends itself very closely to what we read in Revelation 21. I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sits upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will sit on 12 thrones. He's speaking to the 12 and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is where it applies to us. For everyone who has given up houses and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and children and property for my sake, if you've lost anything for the sake of Christ, you will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. So the word here that says made new is the word regeneration. And so that's the same word. Like, again, if you did recreation, searched it out, recreation, you would find this thing about finding rest, and then you would find this thing about regeneration. So we're going to find that several words line up with the same one that we call recreation, but it's about rest, it's about regeneration. And then finally here, let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:11, and this is actually a prayer that Paul is praying to the Christians in Corinth. And he says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice." There's the invitation. Find some joy. Let's have joyful hearts. Let's let the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, joy being one of them, let it really be evident in your life. And then it says this, work towards full restoration. And the word restoration there is a word that we could translate into recreation. Work towards full restoration. Encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So this word for restoration here, it really means put in order. So restoration, or to put in order. So the same word, recreation. It's used to describe restoration, regeneration, rest, renewal through the scriptures. And so it all brings things back to order. That's kind of the point. So I had to like do this like scriptural brain dump on you. Just so you know, I'm not just making this stuff up. Like, this is God's way. It's not only a good idea to recreate, it's one of the Ten Commandments. The rhythm of God is that we work and then we recreate. Or rest, or allow our souls to be regenerated, or find restoration of strength, mind, emotions. It's actually called the Sabbath. And it's a sustainable blessing. And it comes, you know, that blessing just comes with that lifestyle of rhythm. It's a rhythm of life where we are touching this thing called recreation, recreation, every single week. You could actually discover it every single day. Some of you do. Some of you carve out some of the first part of your morning to just rest in the presence of the Lord. Much like what Brian Fenimore was talking about last week, waiting on the Lord. Finding yourself in that place where you slip away to a solitary place with Him and you find regeneration, restoration, recreation, Him making some things new in your life. That's the invitation. So daily, weekly, sometimes you push it out where it's multiple days every few months or a couple times a year. I just want to encourage that kind of stuff. Because what it does is it brings things back to order. Now, our culture tends to promote balance. Okay, have you ever heard yourself or have you ever felt, quote, out of balance? Like, I'm out of balance. I don't know, man. Just got so much pressure going on over here. I'm just out of balance. Okay, I'm okay with that language to a point, but I think there's a difference between balance and rhythm. And some of you have heard me talk about this. If we have a conversation, we might sit around and talk about life. I think balance, what that implies, is that it's like a big scale, right? Obviously a balancing scale, and there's some weight over here, and there's some lack over here, and sometimes we don't really know how to fill this side over here where we lack, where we feel lack. So what balance implies is that we have to remove, and I think there's okay seasons where the Lord is asking us to offload some things in our life. It's okay, but as a course of like, course corrections and daily sort of sense of balance and okayness and wellness, I think that constant, you know, search for what do I have to take off my plate in order to have my sense of balance, I think that actually is not quite where the Lord wants us to go. Hear me out with this. I think what we discover then is rhythm. It includes like marked times. It includes like you're not just removing something so that your life can be in order. It's more like 2 Corinthians 13:11, where it's actually something that gets added to you. There's something of God's grace and his gifts that get added to you so that you have that sense of equilibrium. But really, that's only discovered in a consistent touch point and a balance of you allowing the recreation, the recreation of Christ to touch your life. And that can happen in play. That can happen in hobbies. That can happen in, you know, just physical exercise and activities and stuff like that. We'll talk more about here in a second. So rhythm that includes a marked time of recreation gives us the freedom to be full on in the things that we're a part of. So Jesus, when he was with the people, he was full on. He didn't go to that solitary place because he needed to, quote, find balance. He went to that solitary place because he needed something regenerated in his soul so that he would have margin to give when he stepped back in. Get it? So that being said, it was like when he had that rhythm of rest, he was fully resting. When he had the rhythm of work, he was fully working. And I think that's important for us. And so one of the things that I tend to do is I tend to name my days, the days of the week. I won't bore you with all the details, but like, for example, Sunday is Love the People Day. I love you guys. Sunday is Love the People Day. Monday is Mountain Monday. That's my sabbatical. If it's not a Mountain Monday, then it's usually a Motor Monday. And I'm in my garage working on my motors or something. And so, you know, it just goes on. Like Tuesday is Breath of God Day. That's what I call it. And it's a day where I work on my side projects, my work with other ministries, my work on my own leadership development business called the Juniper Tree. Those kind of things happen on Tuesday. So that's, I call that the Breath of God Day. Like, I just want God to breathe into whatever he's got my hands touching, you know? And so I go there. Wednesday is Meet the People Day. And that's where I stack my day full of meetings and things like that. Now, granted, there are some weeks where I have to adjust these days. And some of you have the luxury of doing that. Some of you don't have the luxury. Maybe Monday through Friday is the same name. Go to work day. Right? So I get that. I'm really privileged. I really feel that. I mean, but I wanted you to just consider what your days might be like. Because you don't work, 18 hours, some of you might, but, you know, you're working a good solid day, and then you've got evenings, you've got margin with your family and things like that. And so maybe one night a week, you're going to call it whatever you call it. You know, we call Thursday night Aspen Grove. And on Tuesday nights, I've told you about us getting together with the Haggerty's, you know. And so there's a rhythm that we find helps us in our life. That's the point. Now, let me just shift channels on you for a second and go back and talk to you a little bit about when I first started to discover the freedoms in this. And some of you might be puzzled because some of you have known me for 20 years. And you might be like, you've always been like that guy who's going up into the mountains and climbing and snowboarding and doing all this kind of stuff. Like, you're like the poster boy for recreation. But I want to just let you in on a little bit of a heart secret that began to get exposed about 9 years ago when we did our first sabbatical. And we went to Virginia, and we did this thing called Destiny Discovery Quest. And in Destiny Discovery Quest, there's like a whole week of just kind of this intensive where you're exploring, you're discovering values, and you're talking about dreams, and you're just like working through who's God made you to be? That's all going to point towards your destiny in God. And one of the things that happened about midweek was we started to look at 10 life categories, you know, things like spiritual life and work and relationships and finance and ministry and physical stewardship and recreation and hobbies and marriage and parenting and all of these things that are hugely important for us. And it was shared with us that if we're not careful and we're always trying to find that balance, we're going to be like those acrobats who have 10 plates up in the air on that stick, and you're trying to spin that thing, and you're constantly trying to just navigate all of that, manage all of that. He's like, how about we do this? How about you go with your life categories, and you spend some time with God, and you ask God, God, would you highlight like the top three for me to focus on in the next 12 months? It's not that, you know, the things that aren't on my top three list are unimportant. But on my A list, you know, the three things, they're the things that I'm going to focus on. Typically, what would happen is the A list, God would kind of highlight the things that you've been neglecting in your life. So maybe the things that you feel like are the most important and you've spent the most time on, maybe the Lord would actually have you shift those down to the C list, not because they're not important, but because they're kind of cruising on autopilot. Kind of got that. Now let's spend some time focusing on these. So I wrestled with God about this when he kept highlighting recreation and hobbies for my A list. I had put, you know, spiritual life up there, and he's like, actually, I want that down on the C list. I'm like, what? Wait, that is you, right, God? You know, I kept, like, having this conversation, like, is that really you, God? In fact, I went to one of the counselors there that was part of this group with Doug, and I was like, Doug, I'm struggling with this, you know? I'm having a hard time recognizing that God was equally invested in those areas of my life that for some reason or another, I didn't view them as very noble. Yeah, sure. I mean, I've had plenty of history of climbing mountains and snowboarding and doing lots of adventure travel, but all of those kind of fell into the category of work and ministry, actually. And I experienced joy in those things, but mostly I converted it into something noble to justify doing it as much as I was. Oh, confession time. And for the Lord to actually be like, actually, I just want tuck away with you into something that is like completely different, and it's just you and me, and I want you to recreate with me there. I struggled with it. Again, it's part of that just receiving from the Father, you know, his love and his goodness. So this go around, I was encouraged to find something less noble, you know, to pay close attention to what my eyes were drawn to, what I found myself searching on the internet, what I found myself talking about. Take your clues from all of those things as you discover your new hobby, basically, is what it was coming down to. And so for me, it became all about old classic trucks. Yeah, that was like out of the left field. All of a sudden, I'm like, seriously? I mean, to the point where I'm schooling my kids. We're driving back from Virginia. And I'm like, okay. See that truck? It's like five blocks away. I want you to tell me what that truck is. Make it model. Go ahead. If you can tell me the year, you get an extra $5 bonus or whatever it was. You know, we were just playing games with that because I was so fascinated by these old trucks. And so when I got home from that time, I found myself praying and asking Jesus to let me have an old truck. And I'll make a long story short. And I found this old truck, and it had four flat tires and a broken-out windshield, and it was in the field behind the community church in town here. And so I went in, I talked to Kurt, and I was like, hey, what are you guys doing with this truck? He's like, well, we just had a meeting last night, and we want to get rid of it. And so they saw fit to give it to me, a 1970 Dodge Power Wagon. Jesus, that's awesome. I don't even know if it runs. But I put air in the tires, and I looked between the cracks of the window because some kids had gone over there and peppered it with rocks, and I mean, it looked like it had been in a gun battle. It was crazy. And so what I began to discover in the process of working on that old truck was that I had a value for restoration. Like, and that was being expressed in this way. So taking an old beat-up pick-em-up truck and restoring it, well, it not only brought joy to me, but it activated my creative problem-solving skills. And it helped me manage my money because I wanted to not use my family budget. I wanted to do this on the side. And it helped me always have a vision in front of me because, you know, I worked on that truck for about a year. In fact, I want to show you a picture of it. You got a picture of that truck? The blue one. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's Alma right there. That's Alma. Alma's a 1970 Dodge Power Wagon. Let's all have a moment of silence for Alma. She got totaled. Yeah. Easy come, easy go, right? Something meant for me, I don't know what it is. But I sold it as is after it got wrecked. And I got discouraged, and it was about 2 years. But then it started to stir back in me. But now, instead of like a truck that kind of already ran when I got it, I was like, I want to just get a motor. I just want to rebuild a motor. And so I got this motor, and then I went on a search to find the truck that I was, or the vehicle that I was going to put this motor in, right? So now we're, what, 2.5 years in? Yeah. So I'm going to show you a picture of my new truck. That's right. I found that in Victor, Colorado, and I'll tell you, the price I paid for that truck, it was worth the price of admission just to watch the two huge miners. One was about 6'5", weighed about 250 pounds. One was about 5'4", and weighed about 350 pounds. So the fun part was when we couldn't get the frame, because there's a frame and there's other parts attached to it. We couldn't get the frame onto the ramp, and so short and wide, he decided, I'm going to push that thing up there. And I was like, hey, don't scratch your truck. Use this old tire between your bumper and my bumper. And when we pushed the frame up there, he goes, no, I'm going to push the truck up. And he got behind that thing. And he, I mean, that was worth the price of that truck. Watching that whole thing happen, it was awesome. Right? So I got that old truck. And then I got a note from an anonymous neighbor that highlighted the point that you're not allowed to have junk vehicles in your house. So that old thing ended up in my garage. Sorry, Tiff, you don't have a garage. For the last, what, 2 years? Sorry. All right, so the next picture is actually the before shot of the engine that I found that I was working on. So Craigslist is my friend. I find things like this, and now I'm like, okay, I want to rebuild that thing. So I took it down to, like, to the machine shop, and we had work done, put a different cam in, all that kind of stuff. Some of you car guys are like, yeah, that's awesome. Let me show you a picture of what that turned into. Oh, yeah. It's like a jewel. It's a work of art. All right, so it's in my frame now. The cab is not on my frame yet. We're close. We're about 85% there, right? So here's the deal. I had to do the motor, and then I did the transmission, and then I did the transfer case, and then I did the front axle, and then I did the back axle, and then I did the suspension. And like every single bolt of this truck is being touched by my grubby hands. At wee hours of the night, like into the early morning, you know, while the kids and Tiffany are sleeping beautifully, dreaming, I'm dreaming. So there it is. I'm like, I told you a few weeks ago, I was like, sometimes the best kind of play and the best kind of hobbies is when you feel like you're kind of getting away with something. Like I'm sneaking into the garage. I think they're asleep. And so I'm hoping that actually I'll be able to drive my new truck when I go hunting this fall. It's a good aspiration. But here's the thing. I want to encourage each of us to really find a hobby that allows you to explore your creativity. It might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be relational. All of those things are going to like really enhance your health. And I can't tell you the amazing times that I've had tucked away in my garage, either with friends or with the Lord, or just in complete silence, and just engaging those, you know, aspects of my creativity. So I'm just saying this stuff because it's available for you in a variety of ways. In fact, this fellowship has some of the most healthy and some of the most creative people that I've ever known. It's true. The quality and the expertise of how you express yourself creatively, it's inspiring, actually. I believe it's because as a fellowship, we're encouraged to express ourselves more freely. Maybe more freely than most Christian communities. I don't know. I mean, I can't compare. It's not really a comparison thing. I just know that it's been a stated value of ours that we want people to discover who they are and live freely in that. Well, guess who you are? You're an image bearer. And as an image bearer, you are creative. And as an image bearer, you're part of a process of regeneration on this planet. Jesus is making all things new, and he's doing that sometimes through you and I. We get to participate with him in that. So we don't have to convert it all to the noble pursuits. Yes, God may put ministry on your A-list. That may be the season you're in. God may put work on your A-list. I think marketplace ministry is absolutely critical. I think that the marketplace is primed and ready for kingdom people to just be who they are in that space. I think it's amazing. I think it's probably one of the more fertile grounds of restoration of our nation, of restoration of who we are as a people in this city. I think the marketplace ministry is enormous. That's why I'm taking Tuesdays, Breath of God Day, and I'm pressing into God, how do you want to enhance the lives of Christian leaders? How do you want them to be following your steps and being creative and inspired in their place of work? So those are really important things on my heart. So that being said, I think that we are image bearers, and so creative expression through your quote-unquote hobbies is you being an image bearer. I think, you know, part of, like, for example, the rhythm of this last week, I'll just give you this little tidbit. I've been about 2 weeks pressed, you know, working really hard with people and some really intense stuff. And then Thursday evening, things kind of settled, and I felt like the Lord's invitation was, I want you to put your phone on Do Not Disturb tomorrow, and I want you to just spend the day just doing whatever you want to do. So I did the incline. Some of you are like, what? Of all the things you could do, you did the incline? Yeah, that was really good for me. Like, I really needed that. And then I took a bubble bath. I'm saying, you know, it's whatever you want to do, right? So that's what I wanted to do. So here it is. He's doing this sort of regeneration, and he's recreating all of these things that have been under the influence of brokenness and decay, and all of the things that have influenced us as a people. Mankind has no shortage of, you know, stress. For him to regenerate, for him to recreate all of those things that have been under the influence of that brokenness and that decay, he's doing that in your life. I want you to listen to Titus 3:5. This has been one of my life verses for many years. It's one of my favorites. I want you to listen to Titus 3:5. This is Jesus. He saves us. Jesus saves us. Not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness. In other words, not because of the righteous things that we've done. He didn't save us because of all of that. He saved us according to his mercy. And he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. This process of him generously pouring out his spirit into our lives so that we can be regenerated and renewed, it is not a once-in-a-lifetime deal. It's happening every single day. And you're invited to touch it every single day, to take a day a week and really embrace it and connect with it, and then just let it become part of your rhythm of life. Yeah? So that's what I want to talk about. Recreation. So playing God's way. And connecting in that. So I have a few questions for you as we close. How is God renewing you these days? Let's just take a minute. Close your eyes if you want. Take a few deep breaths. Jesus, would you speak to us? Like, how do you want to renew us? Like, what are some ways that you're renewing us personally? What areas of your life is Jesus restoring? Have you heard Jesus leading you to green pastures, to still waters, so that he can renew or restore your soul? Jesus, as we ponder these questions, you're going to begin to answer, and you're going to begin to show the ways that you're bringing restoration to us. I mean, it's not lost on me, friends, that some of you have been through some incredible battles. Everybody has a battle. Some of you are just coming out, or maybe you're right in the middle of some incredible battles. So this is not for the sake of escapism. This is for the sake of touching the source of sustainable blessing and abundant life in the battle. And it's God's permission for you. Listen, only the children of God can truly rest. Can you get that? Only the children of God, only sons and daughters who know their identity in the heart of the Father, they're the only ones on the planet who can truly rest. Amen. And so, Lord, as we settle into your provision of rest, We want to touch that regenerative aspect of your Holy Spirit in our life, that renewal that you're doing, that recreation. And let us be image bearers. Let us kind of manifest this in some physical ways. Let us become conduits of that for our families. And so, Lord, we thank you for the invitation. And we thank you for restoring our souls. And so I pray this all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.